May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the things I'm the most looking forward to about being into our new home is that we will have time to read four readings on a Sunday morning, because the one that is missing from our selection today is the call of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. So I just want to put that out there. And so like half of our music selections, no doubt, are going to be on the topic that, you know, like of this incredible, one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. And anyway, so we'll just keep that in our heart. And instead, we have essentially two call stories. We have the call story in the gospel, and in a moment, I'm going to talk about what happens in our epistle. Today in our epistle, we have what might be the very earliest creed in the Christian church. This might be the formula, the expression about what Christians believed going back the very furthest into our history, which is pretty amazing, because this was in the, like, 20, 25 years possibly within the time of Jesus' death and resurrection. And this is what Paul says to them: "For I handed on to you of first importance what I have first received." And then he says that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to all of the following people, most of whom were still alive when Paul was writing this letter. So it's sort of like, so if you want the truth of these things, here are the witnesses that you can go and talk to, that you can go and ask. It is an extraordinarily important piece of Scripture, and it has this sad place because it's up against the call story in the gospel and Isaiah chapter 6, like two of the most important passages in Scripture. And so we sort of often miss this creed in 1 Corinthians. It is an extraordinarily important piece of Scripture, especially for historians, because it tells us that from the very, very early days of the church's life, they had formulated a creed, and probably this was something that could be either sung, or it had some rhyme, or it had some memorable rhythm so that people could remember it and so that people could tell each other who were the witnesses to the resurrection that other people could go and ask. So the idea was to preserve those core beliefs of Christianity in a way that could be shared with new Christians. And this is what makes it so important. And since that time, we have focused a great deal of energy on continuing to figure out what the core beliefs of Christianity are, right? I mean, this is 250 years before the Nicene Creed or before the Apostles' Creed, which we say every Sunday, 250 years. That is like, you know, from the French Revolution until now, that is like a really, really, really long time, from American independence until now, right? That is a hugely long time. But right from the early days of Christianity, it has been important to us to try to articulate exactly what the core beliefs are. And there have been a whole different series of generations, even into the 20th century, where we have like the seven fundamentals, and we have all of these discussions about what it means, what it doesn't mean, and what's in and what's out, and where the lines are, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We have invested a huge amount of time and energy trying to figure these things out and trying to figure out how to preserve them and how to share them, which is why the creed is in our liturgy, because it is intended to be something that we memorize so that we then are always remembering it. But here's the thing about this very long history of doing so, that we have at times forgotten something terribly important along the way. And that something is commemorated in our gospel reading this morning. Jesus meets these men on the lakeshore, and he says, "Come." And they come. He does not say to them, "Believe thus and such." He does not say, "Think differently about this and that." He simply says, come. And they do. They leave behind the entire way of living, right? They cease to be fishermen on that day. They leave behind the whole way of living that they have known in order to learn an entirely new way of being in the world. That's what he says to them. We have made this mistake of thinking too often that it is the core beliefs of Christianity that will save us. We Christians, we talk and we preach and we teach and we lead as if this fresh set of ideas is what will change the world or is what will change our lives. But that is a bit like saying that reading a book about personal fitness will lead you to lose 20 pounds. There needs to be the connecting piece between them. And the connecting piece, what changes our world, what changes our lives, is actually how we act, how we live, how we act out and live differently and make our choices because of those core beliefs. Okay, no problem. Really easy to say that. It is very easy to say, all you need to do is go to the gym. It is really easy to say, all you need to do is eat differently. Because the essential and challenging part is not in the idea, it's in the living. We all know how we are supposed to act as Christians when it comes to helping an old person to cross the street, right? We all know how we are supposed to live as Christians when the teller at the grocery store is having a particularly bad day, or when it comes to charitable giving. We all know how we are supposed to act. We don't always get it right, but it's not the idea that we're missing. And what about when we don't even notice what we're doing because it is so second nature to us? And this is where things get tricky. About 9 months ago, we made a covenant with one another in this church, the St. George's Covenant, about how we are going to live together as Christians. And it's all on that candle. We covenanted each of us, one another, to give and receive God's love. We covenanted to each of us value ourselves and value one another. I don't know about you, but that sounds really, really nice. Doesn't that sound really nice? How could that not sound nice? That's really nice. Holy smokes, that is actually a really tall order. It's not the idea itself that is going to magically transform us. It's not the idea itself that is going to change the world. It's not the idea itself that's radical. It's the living into it that is going to do all of those things. And it's the living into it that is genuinely challenging. Many of us struggle to value ourselves and other people in a good and healthy proportion. We do too much of one or too much of the other. And for most of us, we value other people more than we value ourselves. Many of us have personal histories that make it particularly difficult to receive God's love, even if we maybe really find it really easy to give it away. We covenanted to believe that we personally, each one of us, is valuable. A person of value to God and to one another. Holy heavens, that's a lot of uphill work embedded in that promise to believe that about ourselves, to believe that we are valuable, to believe that someone might care what we think or what we feel, and to live into that such that we notice that other people do value us. We covenanted to value all contributions, big and small. It was very interesting, the word value. These were all developed by different groups, and the word value came up again and again and again and again. This is clearly not a radical concept to us, but living into it is really hard. We covenanted to love, to value all contributions, big and small, seeing all that we bring to one another and to this community, ourselves, our souls and bodies, our ideas and our gifts, our smiles and our handshakes and our donations and everything that we bring, and seeing it all and valuing it, that is quite a commitment about how we will live together. We covenanted to be one community, open and inviting to all. Now, there's a subtext in this one, being one community, not several cliques, not the insiders and the outsiders, not those in power and those who simply have to suck it up and go along for the ride, not those who volunteer and do practically everything versus those who, quote unquote, just show up and enjoy. One community, full of our diversity, with a high-quality flow of information to everyone without discrepancies or discriminations, that's the vision of this promise. And that sure is a big vision to live into. And finally, we covenanted to accept the challenges of our move to our new home, whenever that may happen, God willing, before I retire, positively and enthusiastically. We covenanted to believe, here's what's implied in that, we covenanted to believe that we can adapt and get creative and meet the challenges with resourcefulness and grace and encourage one another and not leave behind all the wonderful ways we have learned to live together here at Prince of Faith in the meantime. Friends, those are some really wonderful words that we have chosen for ourselves. That is a wonderful vision. That is a community worth dreaming about. And it will be worth all the hard work that it will take us to become that community. And it will take hard work for us, each of us, personally. Not because we're horrible people, but just simply because we're more inclined to value other people than we do ourselves. We're inclined to think that people don't actually care what we have to contribute about a matter. We're inclined to think that people don't actually care necessarily what's happening at this church. All of those things. Those aren't horrible things to believe. We're not terrible, evil people. It's just that they're easy things to believe. And believing differently will be hard work. Because the hard part isn't saying the words. The hard part isn't having the ideas. The hard part isn't believing those things in your head. The hard part is noticing when we're living into it and when we're not. Noticing when I'm not valuing myself and I'm starting to feel like I don't really matter here. I'm using the I to signify we because obviously there's a power differential here, so that's just putting that out there. I don't need help on this one. But when a person starts to feel like, in fact, their words don't matter, and they are not important here. That's a moment for us to notice. Hopefully that's a moment for that person to notice that, to do the work that they need to do in their own heart, to believe that might not be true. And then if we need to be recalled to the fact that that shouldn't be true, well, then we need that person to say that. Hi there. I'm just not feeling all that valued right now. Good. That would be an amazing thing if anyone ever brave enough to do that here. That would be a beautiful thing. Noticing when our flows of information are accidentally, inadvertently cutting some people off from being a full part of the community. That would be a really good thing for us to notice, if we notice that that's happening. Noticing when the love of God that I'm sharing with other people isn't really rooted in my belief that God loves me. And I'm trying to convince them that God loves them because I'm not so certain that God loves me. It'd be a really good thing to notice when that's happening. It'd be a really good thing to focus on that and to figure out how to go a different way with that, such that sharing the love of God with other people is rooted in the love of God that we feel also for ourselves. And the trick is going to be noticing in the moment when we're living into it, and when we're not living into it. Now, what I experience at St. George's is that this community has an abundance of grace. we can get things wrong here and notice it and figure out how to get it right without feeling afraid that other people here will judge us. And I've experienced that as a young priest, somebody who has tried some stuff that haven't gone all that well and have made some poor decisions about my personal boundaries. And the wardens and parish council have been lovely about it. They've been like, yeah, we didn't think that was such a good idea. And then when I go ahead and do it anyway, they're like, yeah, you might want to reconsider that. And then, you know, when I get really sick, then they're like, okay, well, you just come back to us when you can come back to us. It's a really beautiful and graceful community. And that's also part of who St. George's is. That's the part that we already know how to do. So we can try this stuff, knowing that there are going to be some times when we do sort of get it wrong and when we need to hear from one another when it's not working out, because we believe in one another enough to believe that we're actually going to try to get to this community that we've promised to be. Wow. That is so great. That is so great that we could do that together. Because becoming the community that we have covenanted to be, it will take learning, and learning involves making mistakes, like me learning how to play soccer. And learning involves noticing those mistakes and trying again and again and again until something new becomes second nature. So that's why we're going to continue to focus on it. In a few minutes here, just after the prayers of the people, we're going to commission the new parish council. And as parish council, part of what we are going to do is we are going to recommit ourselves to this covenant. We are going to recommit ourselves to doing the best that we can, even though, gosh, there are going to be some times when we get it wrong. But we're also going to covenant that when we get it wrong, we'll pick ourselves up, we'll dust ourselves off, and we'll try again. Because it's a vision of St. George's that is really worth striving for. And we'll do it so as to encourage you to do it also. To encourage all of us to do this hard and beautiful work. It is a beautiful vision that God has helped to set in our midst. Almost as if Jesus came along and said to us, follow me. And we were all like, okay, sounds great. And now, in the following, Jesus has a dream of changing our whole lives. What a beautiful gift. Amen.